Hello, everyone. Welcome to Paddock Project. That's my first time saying that, and it feels exciting. So we have, as you all know, rebranded, and what was previously For the Future, our series focused on women and diversity in motorsport, is now called Progress Paddock. So we're super excited about that, and this is our first episode in that vein. So we're midway through the F1 Academy season, or we're three out of seven races in. So we thought we'd give you a little bit of an update about what's happened for the past three races in case you're just jumping in now, and then kind of what to expect for the rest of the season. Definitely make sure you dedicate some time this upcoming weekend at the Zandvoort race. F1 is going to be back from their summer break. F1 Academy is going to be there. So important to watch these incredible women race and drive, and just to promote them and give them all the support. So they're incredible role models. So with that, we will jump in. For those of you that are newer to the pod or to F1 Academy, we're going to do a very brief recap of the series itself. So in terms of overall mission and goal, Susie Wolf was the last woman to drive an F1 car on a Grand Prix weekend. This was in 2014, and she leads the series and has really pioneered it from the start. She was a test driver for Williams and wanted F1 Academy to help create a pipeline into F1 for girls, similar to how F3 and F2 functions as a feeder series. The inaugural F1 Academy series was last year in 2023, but the races were not often co-located with F1 on race weekends. This season is very different. All seven of the F1 Academy races are held on F1 race weekends as support races. So this is really important to both improve visibility for the sport and also to get the drivers better access to the full team operations on the Grand Prix weekend. We got to see F1 Academy at Miami this year, and it was incredible. It was a full-scale paddock and everything right at the center of the action. So the co-location component is super important this season.
Yeah, it was actually so cool to see. And we can talk about it more when we talk about kind of what happened at that race. But to go from 2023 to this season, it's just unbelievable. It's super cool to see. So in terms of how it's all structured, there's five teams, so very different than F1 in that there's half the amount of teams, but each team has three drivers, 15 drivers each. And what's interesting, which also didn't happen this year, but is happening this year, or didn't happen last year, but it's happening this year, is that all 10 F1 teams sponsor a driver in F1 Academy. So 10 of the 15 drivers have a corresponding F1 team that sponsors them. And then there's amazing other brands coming in to sponsor the last five. So think like Charlotte Tilbury, Tommy Hilfiger, Puma, American Express. It's really, really incredible. And the women or the drivers themselves have to be between 16 and 25 years old. So definitely young, but F1 drivers are also on the younger side. And also what makes it super different from F1 are the car specs. So like, I mean, Formula One has a formula, hence the name Formula One for the cars, but the cars can all be very different as we know, right? In F1 Academy, all the cars are identical. All the women drive a Tatis T421 chassis with a 13-inch Pirelli tire or four 13-inch Pirelli tires. The top speeds aren't as fast as F1, but they're still incredibly fast at 150 miles per hour. And what's so interesting too is one of the biggest blockers to getting at such a high level of motorsport is money and sponsorships and, you know, being able to get on a good team and things like that. And even just like in F3 and all of the different feeder series, having enough money to support yourself. And what's great about F1 Academy is that they're all support. So they get obviously the car and the team and all the mechanics, but they get trainers and everything. So it really is sort of the whole shebang. And then having that same car provided to all the drivers really levels the playing field in that sense as well.
And one thing that's also different from F1 and is really exciting is the concept of a wild card. So at a few races, there are wild card entries where Prema Racing runs a fourth car instead of the usual three. And then the fourth car is driven by a driver from the region where the race is being held. And this all does generate super license points. So the top five drivers in the driver's championship at the end of the season get super license points, with 10 going to the winner of F1 Academy. And then for some context on that, you need 40 points across 3 years to get into F1.
I didn't realize it was across 3 years. I thought you just had to accumulate them.
It has to be in a pretty quick consecutive period of time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's tough to do.
Why they do that. And so like Sarah said, we have the seven co-located races all across the world. It really is spread out. So far we've had the season opener in Jeddah. We had the race in Miami, the race in Barcelona. There's four weekends left. Zandvoort, Singapore, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi. So like Sarah was saying, there's the super license, but then the actual points format. There's two races across an F1 Academy weekend. Last year, some weekends had three, so it's a little bit confusing. But this year, it's two races per weekend. They're each only 30 minutes long. There's one quali session that sets the grid for both of the races. And what happens is the first fastest time is the pole, or like the grid for the first race. And then the second fastest times is the grid for the second race. And then the point setup fits the same as F1 for the races, but one difference is that you get 2 points for starting from pole position instead of one.
One thing that's also so exciting is all of the races are broadcast live this year. So you can watch them either streaming on F1 Academy social channels, including their YouTube channel, and also on F1 TV, which is a great way to watch. And then you can check the F1 Academy website for the particular broadcasters by region in addition to that. And for the Americas, it's ESPN. So super easy to tune in for Zandvoort next weekend.
I can't wait. And the website has, like, go check out the website right now. They have all these kind of shorts and stuff because they do a lot of other things besides just like their core seven races. So you can follow them all.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estrogen Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. passion, drive, and patience, the formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Four drivers. Like we said, there's 15 drivers. We're going to give you a really quick rundown of who's who, because then we're going to talk about the races. And so we want you to know who's around. So we're going to go through this pretty fast. We have Chloe Chambers with Campos Racing, sponsored by Haas, and she's American. We have Nerea Marti. She is also with Campos, sponsored by Tommy Hilfiger, and is Spanish. Last teammate on the Campos team is Carrie Schreiner. She's sponsored by Steak and she's German. For Prema Racing, we have Tina Hausmann with Aston Martin and she's German. Dorian Pon, I wish Tiggy was here because she could say it way better. She's sponsored by Mercedes. She's French. We have Maya Wu. I think Tiggy would also pronounce that better. She's sponsored by Ferrari and she's Belgian. Sarah, you want to give us the rest?
Yes. Yeah, so for Roden, we have Lola Lovenfoss. Check out our interview with her ahead of Miami. If you didn't listen to that, it's part of the Miami preview. That was really great chatting with her. She's sponsored by Charlotte Tilbury and she's French. Abby Pulling is also with Roden. She's sponsored by Alpine and she's British. And then Jess Edgar is sponsored by American Express and she is also British.
Art Grand Prix, we have Bianca Bustamante. We interviewed her last year in Austin. She's incredible. She's with McLaren. She's from the Philippines. Leah Block, Williams, American. We also interviewed her before Miami in New York. It was so fun. Aurelia Nobles, rounding out the Art Grand Prix team. She's with Puma and she's Brazilian. And we also interviewed her in Miami. And she's so cool. She has a very multicultural background and she's very, very interesting. And the final team is MP Motorsport. We have Amna Al-Kubaisi, sponsored by RB, and she's from UAE. Her sister, Hamda, is sponsored by Red Bull, also from UAE, because they are sisters. And then lastly, we have Emily DeHoos. Darn, I wish Tiggy was here because she can pronounce it so much better. But Emily is with Red Bull Ford, and she's from the Netherlands.
And we've spoken to the Al-Kubaisi sisters a few times. They're amazing. We did a quick segment with them in Austin last year. And then also in Miami, we got to talk to them at the big Red Bull day that Lindsey Vonn was at the kind of Red Bull experience track. One of the sisters arrived by helicopter to the track because their schedule was so tight with racing. So that's definitely so cool. Check that one out as well.
So key highlights so far for the races that we've had. So like we said, we've had Jeddah, Miami, and Barcelona. We'll give you a quick rundown in case you missed them. We kind of cover them concurrently when we do our F1 recaps when the races happen. But let's talk about Jeddah. This was the season opener. I think the big headline here was Dorian Pon's dominance. Like we said, she's with Prema. She set really great pace the whole weekend, set the fastest lap in practice, got pole position in quali, and then she won both races at Jeddah, except for race two. She got a pretty controversial post-race penalty that shuffled the final order and brought her down. What happened, if you guys can remember, if you haven't heard about this, the penalty was a pretty unique incident. It was contested a little bit, but she got a drive-through penalty for crossing the checkered flag and then not slowing down. Apparently, she failed to notice the checkered flag at the end of the race, continued full pace on what was supposed to be the cool-down lap until there was all these red flags and they finally got her attention. And what had happened is her radio had also malfunctioned, so she couldn't hear her team. So in the end, she got a 20-second time penalty. Obviously, it couldn't be served during the race, but that pushed Abby Pulling up to P1. And then to round that out, we had Maya Wu in second place and Nerea Marti in third.
And then Abby Pulling also finished second in both races. She took the fastest lap in race one. And then, like Chessa said, she was promoted to P1 after Dorian's penalties. And the races were really exciting. They had a lot of action and penalties overall. After race one, Lola Lovenfoss also got a penalty, and this was a 10-second time penalty for causing a collision with Nerea Marti on the final lap. So she ended up being demoted to P8, and Bianca Bustamante and a few other drivers were able to move up. Definitely set the stage for an exciting season.
A lot of shuffling happening. For Miami, that kind of, we switched gears a little bit and got on to what is the general sort of like through line right now in F1 Academy, which is Abby Pulling. She had a huge weekend. She got double pole position. She led every single lap in race one. And then for race one, Dorian Pin finished second. Chloe Chambers finished third. She went from seventh to third, which is incredible on its own, but it was also her first F1 Academy podium, which is really exciting. For race two, Abby Pulling also won. And then we had Bianca Bustamante on podium finishing second. That was her first podium for McLaren. And then Dorian Pon in third. And then this was when Lola Lovenfoss broke her wrist, which is crazy. Like, we didn't realize that, but she had a little bit of an incident with Tina Hausman, who had to retire early. And then I think Lola got a 10-second time penalty for it, but also hurt her wrist. I think we have a lot of wrist injuries in these sports. Maybe they need to wear like wrist guards or something. But she's back on track. And overall, this was like a huge weekend to see the order getting shifted up. And then, like Sarah said, it was a whole, like, not a commotion in a bad way, but it was a full production, full paddock, full hospitality. There was like all these fans, which is crazy because when we were in F1 Academy, it was in F1 Academy in Austin, it was kind of flying under the radar a little bit. But in Miami, everyone knew it was there. It was kind of like an open paddock. You could see what was going on. And there were so many young girls who were fans, which I think is just the whole moral of the story. And that's what they're aiming for. And it was cool to see it in action.
Totally. It was amazing seeing so many fans getting a glimpse of the drivers and people who were just so excited to be able to see a hint of the paddock and the action. And then the third race we've had so far this season was in Barcelona. This is a really important mid-season race since the results had a big impact on the championship standings. Abby cemented herself at the top, and Chloe Chambers and Nerea Marti put in some solid work for Compost Racing as well. So for quali, Abby got yet another double pole position. Dare we say it's giving Max Verstappen of F1 Academy. But the gaps were super tight. It was only about a tenth between her and Nerea Marti in the first quali, and then it was about 2/10 separating the top three in the second quali.
So she, of course, won race one. That was her fourth consecutive win. There was a collision at the beginning, so there was a safety car. So there was a little bit of drama at the beginning. But to round out the podium after Abby, we had Nerea Marti and Chloe Chambers on podium. And this was a home podium for Nerea, so that's really exciting. And that bumped her up to fourth in the championship. For race two, a little bit of a different story. Chloe Chambers celebrated her first ever win in F1 Academy, overtaking Abby Pulling right at the beginning and holding the lead throughout the race. And then we had Hamda Al-Kubaisi finishing strong in third. So that is where we're at. We'll give you a quick rundown of the standings and then tell you what to expect for Zandvoort.
For standings, Abby is way out in front with 147 points. And then we have Dorian Pont with 81 points. Chloe Chambers also with 81 points. So a tie for P2 right now. Nerea Marti with 63 and Bianca Bustamante with 57.
And then it gets pretty close that we have Hamda Al-Kubaisi 55 and Maya Wu at 51. So that'll be very contentious as well. It's almost like mirroring a little bit of what's happening on the F1 grid with these like pockets of contention.
Totally.
And then to round it out, we have Jess Edgar with 22, Tina Hausman 14, Amna with 12, Leah with 10, Emily with 9, Carrie with 9, Lola with 7, Aurelia with 6. And then we have two drivers that were the wild card drivers. They did not get points, but they're on the grid nonetheless.
For some team news and updates, something that is wild about the series is because there are only 7 race weekends throughout the year. So many of the drivers actually participate in multiple racing series throughout the year in addition to F1 Academy, all while juggling things like school. Some of them are still teenagers. So definitely listen back to our Miami episode where we talked to a few of the drivers because they really are just so impressive at a really young age. And for example, this year we had 5 F1 Academy drivers competing in round 6 of the British Championship for Formula 4. Bianca Bustamante, Jess Edgar, Aurelia Nobles, Carrie Schreiner, and Abby Pulling. It was overall a really historic weekend. There were 8 women that raced. It was the highest ever level of female participation in the championship. And the cross-series participation is a great opportunity and chance for the drivers to get additional experience, showcase their skills in a different competitive environment. So it's nice that F1 Academy, the schedule works out so that they're able to do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. We also have Leah Block. She has such an interesting history. She did a lot of like off-roading before she came into the Open Wheel series. So she is competing in three series this year. So she's obviously racing in Formula in F1 Academy. She's racing in the Formula Winter Series in Spain. That was what she did earlier this year ahead of the opener in Jeddah. And then she participated in Spanish F4, and she got 51 positions across two weekends. And then she also drove at Goodwood, which I guess makes it four, but Goodwood's not really a series. She drove the iconic FW08, and she said that she loved that. They did a whole profile on her. So lots to think about there.
And then looking forward to Zandvoort, that is what is up next. Next weekend, break is officially over. Last year at Zandvoort, we had three races throughout the weekend for F1 Academy. And as we discussed, the format is a bit updated this year. So there's only going to be two races in a race weekend. Last year, this was really strong for Hamda Al-Kubaisi. She got two wins over the course of the weekend. Carrie Schreiner also won. It was her first ever F1 Academy win. So look out for them this weekend. Another interesting thing to be aware of, the drivers did a lot of testing at Zandvoort earlier in the year, so they'll be quite familiar with this track, which I always love. I feel like it makes race weekends really interesting at tracks like Barcelona and Spa, where all the drivers are so familiar with it. The conditions were really rainy and tough last year, though, so if it's good weather this weekend, it'll probably be a bit of a different environment. The track itself is pretty challenging. There's twisty banked corners. There's very little margin for error. It's basically all gravel or grass with really limited runoff areas. And it's also a home race for Ferrari's Maya Woog. She is from the Netherlands.
Amazing. So we also just wanted to finish this episode to talk a little bit about the impact. Also, I'm going to use this as a chance to plug an episode that we did about F1 Academy earlier this year, sort of like the standout year of F1 Academy. We can link it in the show notes, but that one goes really deep into, you know, the pipeline, why F1 Academy is so important, and all about the impact and mission. But we're already not even halfway through the season. I feel like it's already going to be a very historic season for F1 Academy and its future. And so on the driver side of things, it's clearly increasing visibility for these drivers, giving them amazing opportunities to develop their skills, focus on development, and their future success. But beyond that, I think we've seen F1 Academy start to contribute to a cultural shift within the sport, which I think is definitely one of their bigger goals. It's really rapidly drawing in a new fan base, and it's going to be so important to have that fan base support these new young female drivers as they rise the ranks. So I think all in all, on the impact side, we're really excited about things. And then another thing worth calling out is F1 Academy does a Discover Your Drive program. So it feels like they're already doing so much in the pipeline just by having these 15 drivers, but they also have programs for even younger folks to get them to participate in motorsport, both on and off the track, activities all over the world, sort of grassroots level, all the way up to community initiatives, all the way up to professional programs. So they do these things called Drive Days, which I think is so cute, and they give girls aged 8 to 12 the chance to learn and experience on-track karting sessions, which is so fun. Sarah, if we did it when we were age 8, you would be an F1 driver now. You have so much.
I don't know about that.
Well, thank you all for listening to this short but sweet Progress Paddock episode. We're super excited, and we cannot wait to see these wonderful women race at F1 Academy. So definitely check it out this weekend. And if there's other things that you want to hear about F1 Academy, let us know.